His cousin goes by his dad's cousin. So you guys will see what printed stuff here on the bar. Yeah. Yeah, it was all the commissioners. All the teams.
I I could go and copy some off the table. All good. Thank you very much.
Kia ora and welcome. Welcome, Sir Mason. And welcome to Ngāti Kōwhiri. There are two listed submissions, one by the Orangi Papakainga and also Dennis on behalf of Ngāti Kōwhiri. And so we're in your hands as to how you want to present that information, but welcome.
Orira tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou I tai mai, te whakarongo ki o mātou nei kukaro, o mātou nei tūmanako. So thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation. There's one mistake there. It's based on earlier written submissions, 8th of March, and it should be the 16th of July.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're ahead of time. It doesn't happen every day. O te rā, neke neke mai ki rua hene maunga, ko ngā tihi taumata e tuake nei. Piki ake ki te rangi, reri atu ki te ao, he ao rangi. So I'm talking on behalf of the people who live around the Aorangi Marae and are part of it, are part of the whānau there, and we have been there since 1886, or not us personally, but our older people have been there since 1886. The marae was established by Te Rāmapakura and Hurihia Te Rangiotu, and generations have followed. Now, 6 or 7 generations later, we are still a vibrant community. We have connections. We have our strongest connection is to Kōwhiri Marae, since we are part of Ngāti Kōwhiri, but also Te Hiri, which is at Kākāriki, Te Rangi Marae, which is at Rangiotu, and the Māori Battalion Hall has a special link also with Aorangi. There's where a lot of the initiation for that occurred. We are tangata whenua, and we take our commitment from those two words, tangata whenua. Tangata, we want our people to be healthy and well and connected. Whenua, we want our land to be productive, sustainable and accessible. So when we talk about being tangata whenua, we're talking about our people, we're talking about our land. We have five concerns that we want to raise this morning. One is about the environmental impacts, and I dare say they have been covered to a large extent by others. One is about the Treaty of Waitangi implications. One is about the roading impacts. Another about cultural impacts. And a final one, which is about the impacts which extend well beyond this region and well beyond this time, the impacts that go into the future. So they are the five concerns that I just want to raise. Before doing that, I just want to say to Kiwi Rail, thank you for coming to the Aorangi Marae when you did on more than one occasion. We were honoured by your presence there and we appreciated the opportunity to talk to you. So many of the concerns that we raised, you will have heard before, but we want the opportunity just to present them again. So looking first at our first concern, which has got to do with the environment and the 177 hectares of land that is proposed for the new hub. Our concern is this. We're looking at fertile and productive land that's going to give way to a jungle of concrete, steel, trucks, engines, noise and fumes. To us, this looks like a modern version of land alienation. Our concerns are these. On the one hand, we recognise there'll be economic gains from the hub. On the other hand, we recognise there will be serious environmental loss. We look about the efficiencies for today, we're concerned also that are we laying burdens for tomorrow? We know that this is about reducing the noise and congestion within the city. We're concerned about the invasion of rural integrity. We know that this will produce jobs for today, but if we look at other similar projects, it's also about imported labour for tomorrow. And it's about relocation from the city on the one hand. Our concern is that this might be a first step towards establishing a Bunnythorpe Industrial Park. So I think any denigration of quality land needs to consider the inevitable consequences that impact on future generations. Aotearoa New Zealand is part of a global community. We have responsibility to avoid further eroding of productive lands. We are part of the globe. A report in 2018, Our Land, from the Ministry for the Environment. This report reinforces that our land use decisions are putting our environment under pressure. What we do on our land has effects across our environment and economy. It affects our water quality, the marine environment, and the volume of greenhouse gas emissions. And then another more recent report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released last week. The opportunity to stay within 1.5 degrees hotter than in pre-industrial times is rapidly closing. A warning there that if we fail to stay within the 1.5 degrees centigrade increase since industrial time, we're in serious trouble. The Paris Agreement in 2015, adopted by nearly every nation to address climate change and its negative impacts. The agreement includes commitments from all major countries, which include New Zealand, to cut their climate pollution and to strengthen those commitments over time. 2020 was to be a deciding year, but COVID came and the meetings that were to occur didn't occur. They have occurred, I believe, since then on Zoom, but the concern still says that we're not talking about something that's way in the distant future. We have to make change today if we're going to save tomorrow. Our second concern is about roading risks. Now, our marae is shaped, is cornered by two roads, Wars Road on the one hand, which goes from Bunnythorpe or to south, north of Bunnythorpe, to Fielding, and Cameron's Line, also known as State Highway 54. These already are dangerously congested roads, and there will be a search for shorter truck routes. Routes have occurred over the last year, so we find out many more trucks coming through there and commuting to and from Palmerston North has increased to an extent that would not have been conceivable even a decade ago. The high volumes of rail and road traffic have been associated with risk to health, safety, well-being. A series of accidents have occurred in front of the Maraya. We're already exposed to increased noise, fumes and speed. Moreover, unwanted intrusion by passerbyers have generated a further set of challenges. So the diagram there, you've got the Maraya, you can't see clearly because of the trees there, but it's on the corner there between Wars Road and Cameron's Line. And our houses are on each side of the Maraya. Our concerns about Kiwi Whale proposal are related to the clear likelihood of serious aggravation of the existing roading overload and the likelihood of concomitant rail overload. They will have negative effects on the quality of life for our public whānau, for the Maraya, and for our urupā, which is across the road from the Maraya. The problem will not be solved by widening the roads in question or converting them into mini highways. That approach will further compromise the safety of the Maraya and Papakāinga whānau, whose homes are located alongside the road. So a bigger road won't help the problem. Our third concern is about compliance to the Treaty of Waitangi. As a state-owned enterprise, Kiwi Rail has obligations under the Treaty of Waitangi. These obligations especially relate to the principles of partnership, the principle of participation, the principle of active protection, and the principle of rangatiratanga. The principle of partnership implies that the Crown or its agency and mana whenua will share responsibility for the governance of a local hub. The principle of participation would anticipate that Māori will participate in all aspects of the hub business, and that will become the norm. The principle of active protection recognises that Kiwi Rail would have a responsibility to actively protect Māori interests both within the hub and beyond the hub. And the principle of rangatiratanga recognises mana whenua autonomy and decision-making rights. So these are four principles drawn from the treaty. There are other principles, but these are the ones that may have particular relevance to the topic we're discussing today. The fourth concern is about the integrity of our marae. The Marae Ātea is the place where our tikanga, our customs, our kawa are closely linked to the land in front of the Marae Tupuna. The Marae Ātea is the final resting place for those who have passed on. It is where visitors are welcomed, where differences are settled, where our histories are recited, and where our culture is celebrated. On that land in front of the Maraya. Increasingly, all too often, the words spoken, the karakia chanted, the waiata sung are drowned out by noise from cars, trucks, buses, trains, and even by planes from the nearby Tāngari Airport, who seem to delight in flying directly over the Maraya. Our fifth concern is about the wider impacts that the hub may have. Attention to what goes on inside the hub needs to be widened to take into account the impacts beyond the hub, beyond the Palmerston North City Council jurisdiction, and even beyond time. Roading across the Lower North Island, the North Island can expect to be burdened by an increase in hub-related traffic, whether it's Woodville or Taihape or other towns. These are all likely to feel the impact of increased logging and other transport both to the hub and from the hub. The other concern relates to time. Decisions made today will have good and bad consequences for the years ahead. New technologies, environmental catastrophes, international agreements, automation, inshore land erosion with greater demand for offshore lands, and greater international trade will all impact on the hub. And our view is that these cannot be put to one side when we're considering the establishment of a new venture. So these are the five conclusions, panel, that we've drawn from those concerns. The first conclusion: environmental impacts that include the destruction of land and the pollution of the environment will have intergenerational consequences for our people. Our joint responsibilities for the reduction of atmospheric emissions around us and the retention of the integrity of the land deserve high priority. Moreover, potential environmental consequences of a hub and the business of the hub for the decades ahead should be assessed and addressed beforehand. Our second conclusion: the Kiwi Rail Hub should not proceed unless access to and from the hub has dedicated roads that do not intrude on existing roads or on the marae and the papakaina. The building and usage of such roads should not impinge on our health, our safety, our environment. And further, before any work starts on building a new hub dedicated roads should be completed and ready to take the hub construction workers and other hub traffic. Our third conclusion: the governance, administration, priority setting and relationships with Māori beyond the hub will be guided by the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And our fourth: the consequences of increased road traffic and rail disturbance have already threatened our cultural integrity. As a long-standing centre for the transmission of culture, the mana of our marae should not be subject to greater threats from road or from rail. And our fifth conclusion: while our marae and papakāinga are not within the Palmerston North City jurisdiction, we ask the council decision to take into account the wider impacts of the venture and their potential to jeopardise the well-being of whānau and whenua in other parts of the country. Nor can the hub be considered without attention to futuristic developments with new technologies, alternate transport systems, population shifts and altered priorities. So they are our conclusions: environmental impacts, health and safety, Treaty of Waitangi, cultural impacts and the wider impacts which go beyond the hub to other regions and into the future. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. My colleagues, you are very happy to answer any questions that you might have. But for now, Manaaki whenua, Manaaki tangata, haere whakamua. Care for the land, care for the people, go forward with confidence. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thank you. Mary.
Tuatahi, me mihi ka tikea ki a koe e te rangatira. Te kaihautu o tō tātou waka mā tauranga, hei ōranga o te iwi Māori. Nā reira, kei te mihi. Kei te mihi. O te rā ki a koutou, Ngāti Kauwhata, nau mai, hara mai, ki te tēpū nei. I just wanted to start by acknowledging the presence of Tā Meihana with us today. We're very honoured and privileged to have you present with us in person to deliver your submission. And I can't acknowledge you in terms of the freight hub proposal without acknowledging the critical importance of your mahi and your contribution to understanding, generating greater understanding, I guess, of the socio-economic, political and cultural health determinants for Māori in this country. So I really want to acknowledge you as our leading Māori health reformer of our time, and that it is an honour to have you with us today to make the time to come along and present your submission. Kia ora. Yeah. I have a few questions, but your submission was so clearly presented, they won't be questions so much of clarification as they will be questions, I think, seeking further insight from you as to how you perceive the impacts of the freight hub affecting the cultural and health and well-being of your whānau and hapū, and the potential impacts on tangata whenua who may be living within the vicinity of the impact zone, if you like, and have potentially been there for generations. One of the problems that we have been encountering through this process with the freight hub application is the paucity of information in relation to cultural effects. And Kiwi Rail acknowledged that they would prefer to defer to mana whenua to provide those assessments, which we understand is under negotiation as we speak. But at this point in the process, we really don't have any information directly from mana whenua who are potentially affected by this proposal. So we would be extremely grateful to gain any insight you can provide in relation to those potential impacts. And I think the things that you've raised are particularly relevant in terms of way of life, you know, health and well-being. We have a greater sense of the environmental impacts, potentially, but we don't have a sense of the extent to which mana whenua who actually reside within the impact area will be impacted. Kia ora.
Well, thanks for those questions. They were just about longer than my presentation. But I think, just thinking about the greatest impact, cultural impact, I see, has to do with land. Tangata whenua is about land and people. You're hard to separate them. If something goes wrong for one, it goes wrong for the other. And I would see that 177 hectares seems to me to be a huge amount of land that will be disrupted. And if land is disrupted in the vicinity of where we are, the impacts will be on us, one way or another.
Mm.
The other impact that I've referred to, of course, is that should the Wars Road and Cameron's Line be used as access roads, that would have a very serious impact. Completely disrupt our cultural activities, completely disrupt marae, tikanga and protocols. Already that's happened. This would just exacerbate it. We would not be able to use the marae atia. We would have to shift into the house. And I think that would be huge and unfortunate if that did happen.
Mm.
And the third point to your question is that we need to be thinking a bit more about the future.
Mm.
Are we talking about something that will have lost its impetus in 50 years' time?
Mm. Thank you for that response. And looking ahead to the future and thinking about the potential impacts of Freight Hub on future generations, it's important to contextualise, I guess, the Freight Hub proposal in terms of the broader strategic national approach to reducing carbon emissions. So one of the purported and anticipated benefits of this proposal is to do with reducing freight traffic trucks from the roads and directing them back to rail, and simultaneously reducing carbon emissions to the environment, the atmosphere. Does that context and those anticipated benefits provide any amelioration or comfort, I guess, in terms of, you know, potentially reducing the adverse effects you've talked about on mana whenua. Do those broader benefits help to mitigate those adverse cultural effects in any way?
Well, I accept that the trains in the future will have, should have a diminished impact on environmental intensive emissions. The other point, though, is if you've got a hub, you've got to take stuff into it and get stuff out of it. So you're going to increase road traffic one way or another, because it will need, and increasingly I would think it will need, huge logging trucks going in there. So that the railway lines are good for getting from point A to point B, but it's still got to get stuff into it, into the hub. And I think that would be a concern, that you can't just look at this as reducing emissions on the one hand, increasing them on the other.
Thank you for that. I'm just checking my notes to make sure that there isn't anything there that you haven't already covered. And just thinking back to your presentation, which we would love a copy of if it's possible, please. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. I thought your presentation really helped to clarify the key points that were in your original submission, and in particular the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which you so clearly and articulately enunciated for us. And for me, it reminded me and highlighted the point that Kiwi Rail, yes, as a state-owned enterprise, it has a higher obligation, doesn't it, to give effect to the principles of the treaty, you know, as opposed to the requirements under the Resource Management Act, which are just to have regard to. And so in that context, what I saw from your presentation was a potential partnership approach to the management and ongoing involvement of Whakata Whenua throughout the design and implementation of the freight hub. Is that what your intention is? I understand there are discussions with Kiwi Rail that are underway at the moment, and that there is a desire to formalise a relationship. And I'm wondering, are those discussions or are these principles, do they form the basis of those discussions? And if we were to achieve something like that going forward, would that provide sufficient mitigation for the adverse effects that you're concerned about?
I think the adverse effects will always be there. Yeah. I don't think what I'm talking about can necessarily be mitigated. But I think the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, if the Kiwi Rail can agree, well, in my view, they have no option but to address the treaty, since they're a state-owned enterprise, and that to do that by looking at a multiple-level approach of having Māori and at a governance level. That may not be exact term, but at a local senior level, where Māori involvement in decision-making is done, but also in other aspects of employment, for example, the way Māori might participate in it, not just on lifting logs off the truck, but at all levels of the business.
That was very, very helpful. Perhaps we can ask questions of other iwi representatives throughout the rest of the week to clarify exactly what progress has been made in terms of those discussions. But as a foundation for a relationship moving forward between Tangata Whenua and the freight hub, Kiwi Rail, it seems as though there is potential there and scope for that kind of alignment.
The principle of active protection, I think, is an important one as well. That if it's clear that whatever is developing is going to have impacts locally on whānau, that
yes.
QRL have got to actively prevent that from happening, not wait till there's a problem, then try and solve it, but to be ahead of the problem and to make sure that it doesn't evolve into a problem.
Mm. Thank you very much for your insights, Tā Maihana, and I'm sure it's not just myself who has appreciated your contribution today and at a national level on the health front as well, but I'm sure we all appreciate the continuing work you do. So thank you. Nei rā te mihi aroha, kia koe, kia koutou katoa. And I was really moved by your, I think, the statement you left us with from your presentation about needing to make change today if we're going to save tomorrow. So I absolutely tautoko and agree with that as a reference point in life and a foundation for moving forward. So kia ora, tēnā koutou.
Kia ora tā Mason, thank you from me as well, and to the Marae and the Papakāinga, thank you for taking the time to make your submission and come and talk to us today. Between Commissioner Pomare and yourselves, you've addressed any questions that I had. Thank you.
Just a brief question, if I may. You talked about the history of the Marae, and I'm just curious as to the decision making that went in from your ancestors in terms of site selection. And there's two ancestors you talk about, I think perhaps a husband and wife that established that site, and why they chose that site.
Yes, it's not a straightforward question or a straightforward solution. The Orang Marae was originally near Awahuri Township. It was on a road called Bonuses Road, which is close to Awahuri. In the 1850s, the Kawakawa block of land, which was a huge block of land extending from Awahuri right north, was taken by the Crown because the people who were leasing the land hadn't kept up their payments and the bank assumed ownership of the land. No one's quite sure how that happened. When that happened, the land that the Marae is on now had originally been designated as part of another big land block which was being sold. They had made a mistake in deciding where the boundaries of that were. They realised the mistake and added for Ngāti Kaufata, the land which the Marae now stands on, and land behind it as well. So the Marae, the two people, Te Ramapakura and Urihia Te Rangi Otu, they moved the Aorangi house from their old land to their new land.
Right. So the original seat was Awahuri?
Yes.
And so, in a sense, the people have had to navigate these changes and circumstances over time, and part of your concern is about those impacts from other activities continuing to impact on where Aorangi is.
I think the first time that we talked and discussed with Kiwi Railway the concerns about roading and the impact on the Marae, one of the answers was, well, why don't you shift the Marae to another site? We didn't feel that didn't feel right to us. So we didn't think that was a good solution.
Yeah, I understand. But
the seven generations have been on the Marae where it is now. We want that continue for a generation yet to come. It's their home, and we think that should stay the way it is, particularly as we're in a world that is changing so rapidly. Any stability is going to be an important feature for future generations. Our Marae will offer a sense of stability.
Yes, from reading your work, I thought you were going to have 4 points because you talk about the four sides of the whare. I'm surprised to see five. There we go.
Well, the point that's not emphasised here is that the house always rests on the land. And so we can't separate the land from our well-being.
Kia ora, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Oh yeah, he's going to present. Kia ora, welcome.
Taku wairere, taku waitapu. Ko te wai matua tuaniku, ko te wai matua tuapapa. Ko te wai nuronga, ko te wai noraru, ko te wai whakaiko. Tū whakahira hira, tū whaka itu. Tū whakiti tonu. Tū whakiti tonu rawa. Yeah. Tūtahi e toa nei, mimihano ki a koutou. Ko tai mai rātou e te whānau, e te apu. Ko tai mai hei whakatau toko ane ngā kōrero e pāna ki a koe. Wekona ki a koe e tarangatira e tā maisa. Mō koe anō hei whakaapi mai a mātou i tēnei hui huinga i tēnei whakamārama e nei o ngā ngāwe e heke mai ki a mātou nei Ngāti Kaupata. Koe anō mō mātou, nā reira tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Uri ake nei ki a rātou ngā mata hiapō, kai wangi nui i tēnei rohe o tātou, ko wehe ko ngaro. Nā reira koutou katoa tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou koutou katoa e te kumiana ko tai mai, me koe anō ki a koe e John. Kei te mihi anu ki a koe i roti i tēnei o tātou. A miria, no te whānau, Ngāti Tōranga Tira, kei te mihi anu ki a koe, me koe anu ki a koutou, ko Taumai Tūrith, me koe anu ki a koe Gina. Hoki atu nei ki a rātou Kiwiwau, ko Taumai i roti i tēnei o tātou. Nā re, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Kia ora. Thank you for the opportunity and supporting. As you say, Miria and John, I always feel very blessed, we do, all of us in Ngāti Kaupata, of having Sir Mason here with us. It was a suggestion this morning that perhaps I should go first, and I said, oh no, you never go in front of the sir. Kia ora. And so I'm really grateful that he has come to be able to share. And in the time that this whole episode started back in November 2019, when Minister Shane Jones arrived at Manfield to talk about a provincial growth fund distribution, and KiwiRail was the largest. I'd said to the minister at the time that we need to go and have a talk to some preeminent leadership of Ngāti Kaupata to make them aware of what was being proposed. And of course, that was Sir Mason, and Sir Eddie, and others. So I'm really, really grateful. So look, you've got my submissions there. And I can give a copy of this PowerPoint presentation. And the purpose that I'm here is really to augment the presentation by our whānau, our marae, our hapū, Ngāti Tahuri Wakanui, and Ngāti Kaupata, right? And to give the wider view. In terms of a lot of the references you'll see here in my presentation will be around Te Awa o Rawa, and the impact North Stream, the impact of the Orawa River reach, and the impact today where we're proposing around there at Bunnythorpe. And I'll have a map to show you that will give some further historical and traditional context connected to, as already mentioned by Sir Mason and Aorangi Marae, the cultural and the environmental impacts. So I really wanted to start with this particular map. And it's significant to spend a little bit of time, because I understand that you've had an opportunity to go and visit some of the sites on the weekend again.